Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Greetings and welcome to the Games Master Team Championships. This is Under Consultation, an episode-by-episode podcast guide through the UK's greatest video game challenge TV show, Games Master. I am one of your hosts, Luke Owen, alone for this intro in what is a change to your regularly scheduled episodes. You may have noticed in the last episode we said we were going to be doing the series 4 episode 0, as we're calling it, where we're going to cover the summer months that we missed between series 3 and series 4. However, we were messaged by a chap named Phil who told us that he knew someone from the team championships. Not only someone who was in the team championships, but someone who made it to the semi-finals and the finals and was one of the runners-up for the only Games Master Team Championships, Sam of the Humberside Hawks. So we said, you know, do you think Sam would be interested in coming in the show? And he said, yeah, he probably would. Here's a way to contact him. So we did. And 2 days later, we sat down with Sam and we had a chat with him for about half an hour, which you're about to hear now. And we talked to him about his time on the team championships, how he got involved, how he found the process, how he found the being the runner-up of the championships, plus a couple of pretty startling revelations about the way that the show went down, which we're very, very, like, yeah, we're kind of excited for you all to hear. So I'm going to throw it over to the interview now, but I just wanted to say thank you to Phil for reaching out to us, but also thank you to Sam for taking the time to speak with us for this podcast. So next week will be the promised episode 4, sorry, series 4, episode 0, episode where we go through the summer months. That'll be coming out next week. And then we've got an interview with Dominic Diamond, and then we'll be getting into Series 4. So we're still a little few weeks off from actually getting into Series 4 and heading down to hell. But for now, please do enjoy this interview with Sam from the Humberside Hawks. This special episode of Under Consultation is a man who used to collect teddy bears but now cooks. He has a sister called Marnie and 14 cats. But perhaps more importantly, he was one of the runners-up in the Games Master Team Championships as part of the Humberside Hawks. Please welcome to the show, Sam Thompson. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Nice intro. You've done your research.
Oh yeah, we're professionals on this show. We've watched the series.
You definitely caught me off guard then. Brilliant.
So, thank you so much for joining us here. Congratulations on being a runner-up on the team championships way back in the day. I suppose, like, first off, you know, we'll kind of talk about the Humberside Hawks as a name initially. So, like, how did your group come together and how did the name come together?
So, I think we were just struggling for a name, and I wanted something. At the time, I used to live in Hull, or in Beverley, just outside Hull. And, I can't remember who came up with it. Yeah, just needed something to fill the box in. So I think there was an ice hockey team. I think the ice hockey team for Humberside was called the Humberside Hawks. So we just went with that.
Wait, did you watch the show? Like, I'm assuming you watched like series one and series two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think from the age of about six or seven, I was really into gaming. You know, started on, I had a Spectrum, ZX Spectrum. Yeah, really got into gaming, a bit too much. And then it was the end of the second series, I believe. There was a flash up at the end, which said, in those days, it would have been send a self-addressed envelope to this address. And I just thought, you know, what the heck, did it and got the application form through. And then it was a couple of school buddies that I was in the class with.
Obviously, there was kind of a news piece towards the end of the first half of series three, which was like, we're doing the team championships, and they showed bits of the auditions. We found out while we were covering series three that actually there was meant to be an entire episode just on the audition process.
Okay.
Where they were going to do a full 30 minutes showing the auditions. And I'm guessing using some of the footage that was recorded on the day, including bits that you guys just seemed to do to camera against a green screen. And I was wondering if you had any memories of shooting anything for that.
So the auditions, we were invited down to, it was held in a school in Brixton. And I remember being super excited because I don't know if you ever heard like these sort of urban legends and rumors of the Sega bus and all of that kind of stuff. So we went down to this school in Brixton. I remember, I can't remember what time of year it was, but I remember it being dark. So I think it was in sort of winterish time. And in the school playground was a Nintendo bus, double decker bus, and a Sega, two double decker buses essentially, both kitted out with, you know, obviously all the consoles. There must have been like, yeah, I suppose a dozen consoles set up on each level, and there were camera crews walking around. We had a go each, and I think I played part of my audition a specific level on Mario 3. And I had that game, and I remember that you basically had to do a level in the quickest time. And I did the level in something like 18 seconds or 20 seconds. And I think the record for the day was about a minute and a half. And it was one of those ones in Mario 3 where you could fly. So I just sort of cheated and just went straight over the top of the level and finished it really quickly. And they were sort of jaws on the floor. Yeah, it was all over quite quickly. And then they took us into the classroom, I guess, and interviewed us for what seemed to be really, really quick, just a couple of minutes. And they were like, that's fine. And I remember feeling really disappointed afterwards that it was too quick. That was it. And then, yeah, we went home, I guess.
Because there was a feature in series three where they kind of did like the auditions and sort of like showed you what the audition phase was like. And there's like a team there that are going home.
Looks like we've got a rather dejected team here. Not looking too happy. They're all blaming each other. Lads. Where are you going?
We're going
home.
That one. Out the gate.
Home. You're going home. What, you didn't do very well?
No, failed.
So was there like elimination style thing, or did you find out on the day that you're going into it?
So that there was that audition, and then we heard back, I guess a few weeks or months later that we were going on the show. And then we did, yeah, the quarterfinals and semifinals and then the finals. And I remember the quarterfinals and semifinals being quite close together, and then it wasn't till about a month or 6 weeks or maybe even longer till we went back to film the final. So we did the quarterfinals and the semifinals, I think, over the same weekend, if my memory's right.
They moved from the prison into the new location for the team championships, which was this, you know, dank, dark basement.
It was an old ball stall. One thing that you don't realise when you're playing, when you go on these shows, is the amount of time waiting around. There's loads of times waiting around. And they do give the sort of view that, you know, you're playing these games for the very first time, but in reality, you're practicing and you're competing against each other for hours. And they'll be filming one quarterfinals and then we'll sort of swap around. On most of the games, you get a real, real good practice.
Were you all practicing on the games that you were going to play in the challenges, or were they just kind of like trying to keep you warm?
I remember the first game. So it was us against the Hackney Pranksters, and this is chapping it, a guy called Alton, who was massive, really, really huge guy. And then there was a guy called Sunil, and I don't know if you've done any research on him, because he got his own show on Sky.
I did not know that.
Didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, he got his own. I remember seeing him not so long, because he was quite chatty. He got his own show on Sky. And in the practice, Mario Kart it was, I was constantly coming second or third. Alton was smashing it every single time, beating us. Literally nine times out of ten, Alton was beating me. And then you can see in the replay how excited I was when I beat him, because that was like literally the second time in 50 matches that I actually beat him, and I did it on the day. So it was total role reversal.
So you were there for Series 3, which is kind of a very controversial series, not only for the format changes, but for the presenter changes, because you were there for the George Lazenby of Games Master, Dexter Fletcher, just there for one and done. Did you get to interact much with Dex off camera or with Dave Perry, his co-host?
It was really nice. Yeah. Not so much Dave, because they were filmed, a lot of them, separately. And what you don't realise is some of the people that were on the shows I were on, I met, and others I didn't. So, for example, I remember meeting Dex used to come up and come sit down next to us. All right, lad, say dear, and just eating his lunch. He was really nice. Really nice chap. Very friendly. But we're all quite, you know, I was 13. We're all quite in awe of him. You know, he was a celebrity at the time. So
did you watch Press Gang?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course. And he's obviously in Bugsy Malone as well. I remember meeting Jet from the Gladiators. That was a bit surreal, walking around the corner and she comes out the door in her Gladiators outfit, and I was like, hello, nice to meet you. I shook her hand. And then one of the best celebrities that I met was Macho Man Randy Savage. That was cool. And again, he came out in his full clobber.
I was going to ask, like, were you there for the celebrity challenges? Because, like, we kind of presumed that they might have done, like, all of your stuff and then filmed all the celebrity stuff afterwards.
So I believe on one of the shows I was on, Frank Bruno was on it, but that was filmed when I wasn't there. But then Macho Man Randy Savage wasn't on one of the episodes I was on, but I did meet him. So there was, you're right, it's sort of filmed differently and then stitched together afterwards.
Yeah, that's what we presumed. That was really cool that you got to meet Macho Man there, because that was our favourite celebrity challenge of the series as well.
You were already pretty high in our books, kind of like being in the team championships. And the fact that you've met Macho Man Randy Savage, that's just put you up even further, particularly because both me and Luke love wrestling. I mean, Luke, it's his day job.
My day job.
Yeah, and I remember, because I was 13, I wasn't that tall for my age, but I remember him only being a couple of inches taller than me, so he must have been about, I don't know, 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", something like that. He was quite short, but he had the full, you know, cowboy hat and glasses and everything.
So before we started doing this interview, you held up your Games Master Golden Joystick that you won, but it's not the diamond encrusted Golden Games Master Golden Joystick that the winners got. So it says on there, Games Master Team Championship runner up 93-94. That is actually very cool, because that's, like we were saying on the show, that's like a unique Games Master Golden Joystick. Like the ones that you got from the final must be the most unique versions of the thing. I did want to ask about the winner's golden joystick, the diamond encrusted one, because you said there that I think just before we came on mic, they weren't real jewels. It was not as diamond encrusted as Dexter Fletcher might have promised us.
I do remember one of the, I don't know who it was, a runner or what producer or last minute, sticking the plastic diamonds onto it last minute and then falling off and then sticking them back on.
No one was going to give teenagers actual diamond encrusted anything. That was just, that was crazy.
They probably wouldn't do nowadays, wouldn't they? You know, what the YouTubers get paid.
Well, Luke.
I'll look into it.
So on your first heat, you faced off against Simon Amstel.
He says it's all stars.
It's amazing because you could actually see the personality he was going to be on television was already there.
He says, he goes, I'm after your job, Dexter.
Was he like that all the time that you were with him? Was it off camera, on camera, the same person?
Yes. And I think I do vaguely remember off camera at some point we were practicing and Dexter, we were having a chat and Dexter actually said to him, do you ever stop bloody talking? Yeah, he was nice chat.
It's really funny as well, because like by the end, because he's a very like cocksure kid as well, like the crowd start to boo him a little bit by the end when he's like really giving it large, which like proper like baby faces you guys up.
Now, we've got two teams left battling out for a place in our championship semi-final. We've got the Humberside Hawks here on my right. Sam, you're going to be playing the next challenge, aren't you?
Yeah.
Feeling confident?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Simple as that? Easy. You're going to be playing Simon the Big Mouth here. Simon, are you confident?
I'm so confident. I don't see why I should be playing this guy. I mean, it's just...
It's going to be good.
It's too easy for me. I need a challenge.
You need a challenge. Well, do you think you're going to muster up a challenge for me, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, no sweat.
Yeah, they were literally booing him because what you've got to imagine as well is probably only, what, 10, 15% of what he said to camera made the cut. So yeah, they go from nothing to heavily booing him quite quickly.
So you play Street Fighter II Special Champ Edition on the Mega Drive. How confident were you going into that?
I'd never played on the Mega Drive, but I had it on the SNES, and that was definitely an ace up my sleeve.
You guys made it through your first heat, beating him off the competition. It was a really like comfortable win for you, as you said. Like, you know, you kind of won all of the challenge that you did. How, like, was there like a real sense of like competitiveness amongst all the other teams, particularly when you got into the semifinals?
There was massive competition from the start. I think the level of competition between the teams. I think I was probably the most competitive, to be honest. The anxiety levels increased as we went through the different heats. The competition was there from the day one. And as I referenced earlier, when we were playing Mario Kart, I think it was me, Alton, and Sunil, if my memory's right. And Sunil was smashing it every single time. And then, as I said, I won it on the night. But yeah, the competition was fierce from day one.
Was there any game like that you had in your heat and your semifinal and the final that you were like supremely confident on, and just like, ah, I'm gonna nail this, like this will be fine?
Well, I don't know. The thing is, you've got to remember is everyone else was, well, a lot of the other guys were good gamers, you know, like Street Fighter 2. It's who can consistently pull off a Dragon Punch, you know, when you're going head to head or fireballs, you know, who can do that consistently. I was quite confident with Street Fighter 2. Because, you know, I used to play that a lot. And as I said, that was my forte. But what is quite interesting is I think there were some games that I played which didn't make the TV. And there were some new prototype games as well. I remember some of the games, they weren't released yet. So it was basically they were putting a circuit board into for the SNES and the Mega Drive. They were just like inserting a cartridge, I guess, but a tall cartridge. And it was just a circuit board without the plastic casing on it, which is interesting.
Yeah, for things like that, for Games Master and also for Bad Influence, the production companies would have a blank board for the console, and then the manufacturers would actually just send them a bag of chips, and then they would plug the chips in. And so, but yeah, they're perilous boards. Yeah. Like, you know, you wouldn't want to close a door too hard next to one because they teeter and totter because, of course, they've got none of the protective casing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were going by when things were being filmed, there were definitely quite a few games that were either imports or pre-production. And certainly as we get into the final, one of the games that you guys played wasn't finished in the slightest. Rise of the Robots.
Yeah, because there's only two characters available, if my memory's right.
That's what we figured, yeah. Like, because it's basically like they make you switch who you're playing as. It's like, well, one of you gets to play as the military robot, one of you gets to play as this one, and then you have to keep switching it around because there was only the two characters available in that version that you had.
One of them's rubbish compared to the other, if my memory's right. So it was like Wall-E and Terminator. So I remember playing. I can't remember what it was now. I played something on the Atari Jaguar. It was a bit like Star Fox.
Oh, was it a Cybermorph?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be one, because I think because you play that in the final, that's like the first challenge that Matthew plays for your team. And it is like, it is not a good game.
But it was the first, they sort of headlined it as the first game ever to use some sort of polymorph technology or something or other. I don't know what it was, but it was pretty rubbish. Where did you?
One of the things that Dave Perry keeps mentioning on commentary throughout the team championships is this, it's so different when you're inside the cage, when you're actually like sitting down and playing the game. It was almost like as a way to like, if like a kid does like a really bad performance, he's like, you have no idea what it's like being in that cage and playing the game with the crowd around you. Was it genuinely like quite terrifying being in that cage?
So you're in like almost like an air raid bunker. The smell's pretty horrible. It's really sort of damp and dusty smell. Not much ventilation in there at all. Because if I remember, you go down, you know, a good flight, good couple of flights of stairs. So it is underground. And then you've got the camera, you've got the lights, the heat, the crowd. Everyone's packed in there. People watching it, I don't know, 20 people, 30 people, but in a quite a tight space. And then you've got the heat of the cameras. And then stupidly, I wore a hoodie. So in one of the episodes, you can see I'm literally purple in the face. So it's so hot. And then you're in this steel cage, and everyone's banging on the wire cage. So yeah, it's quite an atmosphere, and the adrenaline's kicking in. Really, you know, hands shaking in an excited way.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You said that like you're up against like really good games players. Going by your quarterfinal, your semi-final, how confident were you as a team going into the final?
I was super confident. I guess looking back at it, it was just more about winning each game. I was more concerned, and it sounds really arrogant me saying this, but I'll say it anyway. I was more concerned about my teammates not winning, which and yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about the final, that was so Matthew's game in the final. So this is essentially why we lost. One of the reasons why we lost. I knew Matthew had Street Fighter 2 Turbo Edition, I think it was, on the SNES. He was playing in the final.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And we'd been practicing with the other guys, and the other guy couldn't do a Dragon Punch. And when he selected Ken, I said to Matthew, "Just be Chun-Li and just head stomp him. You know, just go off the side of the screen, head stomp him. You know, just a bit of a low blow, but just do that. And you know, he can't defend it." And for some reason, he didn't. He decided to choose Ryu or Ken. I can't remember which way around it was, and he just got fireballed. So yeah, that was very frustrating. And then the controversy around the final. Basically, what happened is we were against this team who were, I think they were 15 or 16 years old, 2 or 3 years older. But at that age, it's quite a big jump. So what happened is, for the first time in the whole series, they were looking for a game that neither Paul or the other chap had played at all. And someone suggested Striker on the SNES. And this other chap who was going to be playing against Paul said, let's do that. Let's play Striker or Super Striker on the SNES. And someone told me that he had played it in the semifinals. Therefore, he had had 5 or 6 hours practice on the game beforehand. So I started to try and pipe up and tell the producer that he played it in the, and I was going, excuse me. And he turned around and grabbed me by the throat and put me up against the wall and said, "If you tell the producers, I'll effing stab you." At which point I burst into tears and ran off. And the rest is history.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
Yeah, so that was when you mentioned controversy. That was... Well, that's why it's sort of bittersweet and still, not that I hold a grudge. That's why I asked you if you managed to get hold of anyone else, because it'd be quite interesting to have a conversation with him. You cheated us out of winning, basically.
That's nuts. It's funny because like we were talking to Dominic Diamond just yesterday, and he was, because he's been doing a lot of research for the Games Master Oral History. And what he said that was the controversial thing about Series 3, about the final of the Team Championships, is that there was a problem with Rise of the Robots. And that meant that the wrong team went out, which was the Elite Three. Apparently, they weren't meant to go out at that point. And it was, and I don't know which team it was of you and the Mega Maniacs that was supposed to have gone out at that point.
Yes, there was. Yeah. And so basically, yes, you're right. That, I don't think it was when we were playing it. It was when he was playing the other team. But what happened is I remember them being consoled because they were really upset. And as a sort of goodwill gesture, they gave them, because there was, I remember wanting to help myself, but I was a good little boy, so I didn't nick anything. But there was this cardboard box, like a proper, you know, 2 foot square cardboard box full of games cartridges, literally full. So it must have been, I don't know, over 100 titles, just a box full of games. And I was thinking, wow, you know, and they were like £50 at the point. And they basically just said, help yourself to these lads. So they grabbed sort of 5 or 6 games each. But yeah, I do remember that now.
So one of the things, like, we found out, apparently there were legal threats, and like parents got involved and everything about the Elite Three. Like the Elite Three's parents essentially got involved. Oh, wow. Apparently, yeah, there were legal threats made against the production company, against Hewland, about their team going out. Dominic Diamond said that's why they scrapped off doing the team championships again, because they were like, we're not getting ourselves into this again.
But what you just said about Striker, that's caught me and Luke off guard.
Yeah, it really has.
We've never heard anything about that. That's crazy.
So yeah, it was the chap with the leather jacket and the slick back. It was a captain, and he literally grabbed me and said, if you effing tell them that, I will stab you. And at that age, I just burst into tears.
Not surprised. I'd have done the exact same thing.
Same. I mean, I was pretty much the same age as you at the time you were on the show. And if someone had done that to me, I'd have just stayed very quiet.
He was head and shoulders above me as well.
I mean, I'm 35. I'm 35. I'd do it now.
Yeah.
I mean, regarding obviously the experience and the threat by the other team captain, you kept quiet at that point. Did you say anything to anyone afterwards? Or, you know, did you raise it either with your parents or with the production company or just people at school?
No, I think at the time, I just wanted to get out of there. You know, I remember being quite shaken up, and I just wanted to get out. And then obviously they played and lost. But I think you can see, if you watch it back afterwards, you can see I'm quite sort of shaken by the ordeal. But no, I don't think I mentioned it to my parents. In fact, I mentioned this, me doing this today, to my mum a couple of days ago, because my mum and my dad were the parents out of the three of us who ferried us down to London to do the recordings and the heats and sort of chaperoned the three of us. And I mentioned it to my mum, and I recounted the story, and she I don't believe it to be true, but she it was news to her. And that was only a couple of days ago, so maybe I was too embarrassed to tell her.
Has that moment like soured your memory of the team championships?
Yeah, it's and I'm not gonna, it's sad really, because it was such an amazing experience, you know, especially as an avid gamer, I loved gaming, and then to finish on such a sour note, of course, it was sad. Yeah, really sad. Arguably we were robbed, because if they played a game, because I know Paul was very good at gaming. Matthew was a bit of a weak link by his own admission, but me and Paul were hot, if I can use that term. And I mean, that was literally the first time Paul had ever played that game, and I think he lost 3-2, or he lost by one goal. So testament to him, to lose by one goal to a cheat is pretty damn good.
No, it was actually. We were saying when we did the review of the episode, like, it is a great comeback. Like, it's a really, really good, because like I think we were kind of behind you anyway as a team to kind of go on and win. So it really was this like excellent comeback story that just like it was the feet snatched from the jaws of victory, if you will.
And also, as I mentioned earlier, the one game that stuck out in my head was the Mario Kart against I think Sunil, and he, like I said, he every single time just wiped the floor of everyone. And then on the night I won it, and then that happened a couple of times. It happened with against Autumn when I played Street Fighter 2. He was beating me in the practice, and then on the night I beat him. So we it was, yeah, from the jaws of defeat pretty much every time. And then to get it snatched out of our hands at the last minute by a cheat is it was disheartening.
Yeah, but, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
You were the runners up in the end. You got your Games Master Golden Joystick. What was the like reaction at school like as the runner up?
Yeah, it was quite cool. Obviously there were four channels on the TV back in those days, so if you were that age, you didn't really have a choice to watch. It was either that or probably Countdown. Yeah, it was quite cool. Obviously we filmed it, but it wasn't on for months later, so yeah, it was quite cool walking into school the next day and people, oh yeah, that's how I roll. Yeah, it was quite cool.
Did you ever take the joystick in and just put it on the desk and go, oh, this? Oh, this old thing.
Oh, what's that? Oh, I think I must have. I think I probably did, as cheesy as it is.
Nah, not cheesy.
Yeah, nope. I probably did. I don't remember exactly. It was probably a show and tell or something. Yeah, I'm sure I did. I don't really remember.
Going on, obviously, the team championships did air. And then after the team championships, everything changed on Games Master again. Dominic Diamond came back. We all went to hell. Were you still watching the show at that point? Were you still a fan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we applied for a couple of other game shows as well. We applied for that Dungeon Master or something. It was one where they wore that silly hat.
A Nightmare.
Yeah, that's it. And they wore, and you couldn't see. And yet. So we applied for that as well. Absolutely. If it was on now, I'd probably still watch it. And then obviously years later, I think I went on YouTube, probably about, I don't know when it was, 10, 15 years ago. And just out of interest, see if there was any episodes of the team championship, and came up Simon Amstel. And I was like, wow, I remember him.
Have you watched the episodes back then? Like, I mean, recently, like, have you, like, when was the last time you saw them?
No, I've only really watched the clips on YouTube of the Simon Amstel Games Master clips. I didn't know that they were available on the main.
Yeah. I mean, every episode is up there in full.
Oh, is it? I'll have to show him, because I've got a 10-year-old boy who is probably next door on his PlayStation. And yeah, he's as most 10-year-old boys who are into gaming want to be a YouTuber. I'll have to show him.
You were a YouTuber before YouTube even existed. You were doing Twitch streams. You know, you were the precursor for that. Trendsetter.
Yeah, so I was chatting to, I don't know if you know, a YouTuber called Nitro Luke. Nitro Luke DX. He lives in Farnborough, which is not far from where I live, and he's got an esports slice, and he's got about a million subscribers on YouTube. Plays Call of Duty, 12 hours a day, Call of Duty, and rakes it in. So my son had a birthday party at the venue. They were playing Minecraft and stuff like that. And I managed to have a chat with Nitro Luke, and he's a really nice guy. And so I sort of went over, I was like, oh yeah, I used to sort of do this back in the day. I was on a thing called Games Master. You might have heard of it. And he was like, no. I was like, oh, Games Master, go on joystick? No. Oh. No idea what you're talking about. That was a bit awkward. One of the chaps that worked there knew about it. He was the guy out the back that had all the retro games consoles. Christ, it shows the age, isn't it? So there's this guy out the back with all these retro games consoles. And he was like, oh, I'm really excited. Bring your joystick in. I'd be really cool to see that. And Nitro Luke, who's like, yeah, multi-millionaire YouTuber. Never heard of it, mate. So, yeah.
I mean, I was going to ask, like, how often does it come up in conversation that, like, you know, like, by the way, I was on TV and I was the runner-up in the only Games Master Team Championships.
Usually after a few drinks, and then I sort of cringe afterwards and go, why did I bring that up? Or someone usually throws, no, in fact, usually it's someone throws me under the bus. It'd be like in a pub or something. They'll throw me under the bus and say, oh, yeah, you're a Games Master, you're a telly, weren't you, Sam? Tell them. And then I'll tell the story and, yeah. They probably laugh at me behind my back, but at the time they're like, oh, that's, you know, cool. Especially when I mentioned, you know, I met Jet from the Gladiators and Macho Man Randy Savage. That's sort of the winning ticket, I guess.
And you're looking back on it now, it's been nearly 30 years since the team championships. And although you had like a very traumatic experience in the final, do you have like, is it overall positive feelings and positive memories you have about the team championships?
Absolutely. It was very cool for a very long time. I still look back at it fondly. But as I said, do you know what? If that hadn't happened, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here now. Well, I might not be sitting here now. You know, different, even negative things that happen in your life, I take a view that, you know, if it doesn't kill you, it just makes you stranger. And you know, it's how you it's how you react to those things that happen that, you know, weren't great at the time. They make you the person you are today. So it is what it is. Happy now, so maybe it was a good thing.
Always look for the positives. First, the only thing I wanted to ask about just before we do let you go is, how did it come up in the like, you have 14 cats and your sister is Marnie, you used to collect teddy bears and like all of that stuff that was in like your final video package. Like, how did that come about?
First up, team captain Sam Thompson used to collect teddy bears, but now he likes to cook. He's got 14 cats and one sister Marnie, and his hero is Michael Jordan.
So that was filmed just before we did the final. So the same weekend, I think it was on like, I don't know, on the Saturday, and then we played the final on the Sunday or something like that. Or might have been done over a bank holiday, I think. And they just, asked us loads of questions. And yeah, sure enough, we did have loads of cats. We had five cats and two of them had kittens at the same time. We ended up with 14 of them.
I'll be honest, I'm really glad to have an explanation for the 14 cats because I was just going, how do you do 14 cats? A couple of cats, two cats both having kittens. Now that absolutely makes sense. Like, I've got a list of unanswered questions about Series 3 and 14 cats was definitely one of those unanswered questions.
You're some crazy cat man, some crazy cat lady mother. But yeah, I think my sister was more embarrassed about that picture.
The thing that they say in sort of your video package is that, you know, you have a sister that's called Marnie, but also...
His ambition is to be a fireman, but at the moment he's just looking for a girlfriend. Has he met Marnie?
Yeah, that's a bit weird. So my sister's 5 years older, so she would have been, 18, 19 at the time. But yeah, her name's Hermione, and we call her Miney.
And do you still cook now?
Yeah, I do actually, yeah. Yeah, I do. I cook quite a lot. Yeah, I do. I do like my cooking.
Awesome. Well, Sam, it was an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for telling us your story and kind of like filling in some of the gaps for Siri for the team championships.
And likewise, it's bits that I'd forgotten or blocked out have come back.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, man. It was an absolute pleasure.
Once again, thank you to Sam for taking the time to speak with us on this podcast. It was really, really awesome to have a chat with him. And we messaged him afterwards. You know, he was totally cool about telling us that story. And he enjoyed going down this trip through memory lane. And it was really awesome as well to see that Games Master Team Championships golden joystick. It was engraved and everything. It was really, really cool. Like, you know, we've spoken to Jack Templeton, who's been writing the Games Master Oral History. And even he hasn't seen that. So that's really, really awesome for Sam to share that with us. Thank you all so much for listening. You all rule. We'll be back in 7 days' time with Series 4, Episode 0, taking you through the summer months that we missed in between Series 3 and Series 4. If you want to get in touch with us, we are on Twitter at underconsolepod, on Instagram at under.console. Links to our Discord are in the show notes. We would love for you to come and join us over there. And if you want to support this podcast monetarily, you can do so over at patreon.com/underconsolepod, where you'll get access to UCP Extra, which is basically this kind of show, but we do other shows. We've done Nightmare, Funhouse, The Real Ghostbusters, recently Earthworm Jim and Press Gang. You'll also get access to our monthly community show Under Console Nation, and at the £5 level, you'll get access to next week's show 1 week early and ad-free. And at the £10 level, you get an extra bonus merch pack and your name read out in the credits like these fine folk: Xanderthal, William, 2 Bod, Simon, Sean Hannon, Sean Dunn, Robert Johnson, Rich Pemberton, Pink Lithium, Nick, Misha, Matt, Kevin, Joe, Jamie Gordon, David Palmer, David Fisher, Colin, Cliff, Alexis, Adam Warrington, and Adam D. We will see you in 7 days' time. Take care, everyone. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.